All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 49. Jeremiah 49 for the message tonight. I'd like for you to pray for me the next couple of days. I'm going to drive up to Williamsport, Pennsylvania tomorrow, preach tomorrow night and Tuesday, and then I'll be back Wednesday in time for church here Wednesday night. But if you could remember to pray for that meeting, I appreciate it a great deal. I preached in that church several times through the years. They send down a bus just about every year for Living Cross, and they are good friends with our church, and so if you could pray for the meeting. Brother Bixler is the pastor, David Bixler up there, and if you could pray for the meeting tomorrow night, Tuesday, I'd appreciate it, and then I'll be back on Wednesday night. All right, Jeremiah 49, are you there? All right, this is a chapter that is basically in several chapters that are dealing with judgments that the Lord is pronouncing upon the neighbors of Israel, upon their enemies that are around about them. And I want you to notice just two verses tonight, beginning or starting in verse 7. If you look at verse 7, we'll read verse 7 and 8. And I want to just pull something out of this eighth verse and then highlight it tonight, apply it to our day today. But if you look at verse 7, it says, "Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord of hosts, is wisdom no more in Teman?" Now, let me just stop right here and make some identifications for you. Teman means the south. And it is a reference to what is today the country of Yemen. All right, so all along the southern part of that Arabian Peninsula there, is Teman, and it is today that is Yemen. So Edom, of course, is Saudi Arabia. That's the section of land that is south of Israel, and the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, settled in that region. So he says, "Concerning Edom, thus saith the Lord, is wisdom no more in Teman? Is counsel perished from the prudent? Is their wisdom vanished? Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan." All right, now let me stop right here. Dedan is also a tribe of the descendants of Esau. They are Edomites, and these are this is the tribe of Arabs that lived around the city, the ancient city of Petra. All right, remember me telling you about Petra. That is a city that was built basically out of the rocks. It is the Red Rock City. And they carved this city out of the rocks. It's very difficult, hard to get into. There's one little way in, so it was very secure. You could not come over the mountains onto them. It was impossible. You just could not do it. There was one way in, and the descendants of of Esau would guard that way, and it was about a 1 mile trek down into just continued to be this narrow little passageway that brought you down to Petra, and the nations around knew not to go and try to crash the city. You would not make it. You would be slaughtered on as you tried to get in. And so so Dedan is a tribe of Arabs that lived in the caves of Petra. And so he says, "Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I shall visit him." Now, God's point is that when the time comes and his wrath is poured out upon these folks, they can do whatever they want. They're not going to escape. All right. They may feel they're invincible. They may feel that there's no way you could get to them, but the Lord can bring his judgment and his wrath. Now, I want you to notice this little phrase here, "Flee ye, turn back," and then he said, "Dwell deep." Now, as I was reading this, that phrase jumped out at me, and I did some research, did a little background check on what others had to say about this statement, and basically what the thinking is. Was they would come and say that an enemy is approaching. There is an enemy coming. So beware. And they would tell them, "Flee ye." So everybody would just disappear. You say, where did they go? They went into the caves. They went into the sides of the rocks. They just disappeared. And the admonition here was, "Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep." In other words, get way back in those caves. I mean, if you're going to hide, really get out in there so they can't find you. If they do get down into the city, if they make it into the city, you disappear into the rocks. You disappear into the caves. You make it appear like there's nobody here, because you are so far, you are so deep, and you are so protected by the elements. You are protected by the caves. And that is what folks were implying here. "Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep." Now, I want to talk about to you tonight on this subject about dwelling deep. You know, there is an enemy who is after us. There is an enemy who is after our children. There is an enemy who is after our churches. And we are told here that the Lord said to Dedan, "Dwell deep, dwell deep." When an enemy would approach, a messenger would ride through the city of Petra and would cry, "Dwell deep, Dedan, dwell deep." And the people of Dedan would know to hide in the caves of Petra and to go deep inside those caves until the threat was over. Now, anyone can see that a powerful foe is threatening our young people and our children today. One has no problems at all today seeing a whole host of enemies that are out to destroy. There's humanism and socialism and communism. There's drugs and alcohol. There's this humanistic educational system that that we have, and a whole host of other wicked adventures the devil uses to try to capture and steal away the hearts and souls of our children. And I just want a thought that it would be a good thing tonight for me to stand here and just say to the church, dwell deep. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. It grieves me when to see a child who can start out in the nursery and spend 18 years in the church and start kindergarten, K-4, and go all the way through graduation at Carroll Christian Schools. Be in the Living Cross almost every year, especially as they get older. Go out on Wednesdays and go soul winning on Wednesday after school. And in many cases, get up here on the platform and sing special music for the service. And then graduate from high school and disappear. How does that happen? How does that happen? I'll tell you how it happens. It happens because there's an enemy out there. It happens because there's an enemy that wants to destroy our children. Now, thank God, not everybody does it that way. Thank the Lord, there are some who don't forget what they've been taught and abandon 18 years of church. So why do some do well and others don't? Why is that? Well, it has to be that some dwell deep. It has to be that some have their own walk and their own relationship with the Lord. I have no doubt that a lot of kids today just adapt to the environment their parents put them in. And their religion is really their parents' religion. It's not their own. And young people, I want to challenge you tonight. Dwell deep. I mean, know what you believe. And know why you believe what you believe. And have your own walk and your own relationship with the Lord. Check sometime and just see how many times the word abide is used in your Bible. The Lord Jesus said, abide in me. Abide in me. He did not say, hey, visit me every now and then. No, he said, abide in me. And the word abide means to dwell. Just dwell in the Lord. Get your own walk. Get your own relationship and walk with God. Jesus said, let my word abide in you. In other words, God wants the word of God to shape and to mold our lives 24/7, 365 days out of the year. In other words, God wants us to dwell deep. Check in your Bible how many times the word delight is used and mentioned. In Psalm 17 and verse 4, David said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. In Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, now get that, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Christian, listen, don't come to church like you're going to the dentist. You know? I mean, don't come to church like you're going to the post office on April 15th. You know? Delight yourself in the law of the Lord. Delight yourself in the Word of God. Delight yourself in the church of the living God. Don't just make it a part of your life. Make it your life. Dwell deep. Dwell deep. I think one thing that is missing in our churches today is that spirit of simply dwelling deep. I think God wants to bless His people. He wants to bless our families, and He wants to bless our children. And God wants our children to turn out right. But if they do turn out right, we must, as families, as individuals, dwell deep. It's not going to just happen by accident. No, we've got to consciously put forth the effort and dwell deep. Now, let me suggest a few areas where I think we must dwell deep. First of all, I think we need to dwell deep in salvation. Just dwell deep in salvation. Now, what do I mean by that statement? Well, I mean that you should accept nothing but to know 100% positive, 100% assured that you are born again and you know the Lord as your Savior. I mean, dwell deep in the matter of salvation. As I've said to you a number of times, salvation is not hope so, it's know so. And we ought to just know that we're saved. Should be no doubt about that. Realize that the devil, he wants you to join the church and trust that for your salvation. No, sir, dwell deep. The church is not going to save you. You need to dwell deep in the Lord's salvation. The devil wants you to take communion or to get baptized. He wants you to be religious. But listen, don't settle for that. I mean, that's not going to help you when you get down to the wire. You need to dwell deep. Realize that James said, the devils believe and tremble. You know, the devil believes in God. And that's just not enough. That's just not enough. I mean, it's not good enough that you simply have a head knowledge of God. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. And when it comes to the matter of your own soul's salvation, dwell deep. Know that you are saved. Know that you know that you know that you are saved. A preacher friend of mine told me of a pastor in his community who was dying in the hospital. And he said that a mutual friend of theirs went to visit this preacher. He was in the hospital visiting one of his own people. And he saw where this fellow was in the hospital. So after he visited his church member, he stopped by to visit this preacher. And when he walked in the room, that preacher looked over and called him to his side. And he said, I'm begging of you, please, pray for me. Pray for me, he said. And the preacher said, well, brother, I'll be more than happy to pray for you. What do you want me to pray? He said, pray for me. I am dying and I am scared. He said, for although I have been preaching for the last 50 years, I am fearful that I am not saved. Pray for me. Can you imagine that, folks? And that preacher bowed his head and prayed and begged and pleaded for that man to receive Christ as his Savior, and he would not do it. He would not do it. And that preacher told this this fellow who told my friend, I am not sure that that man got saved before he died. You see, folks, the devil can deceive you into thinking everything's all right. And I'm telling you tonight, dwell deep. Dwell deep. With an urgency of a messenger riding through the village and crying, the enemy is coming. Dwell deep. I stand here tonight and cry to every person in this room, dwell deep in the area of salvation. Search your heart. Another preacher friend of mine down in Georgia told me this story that just absolutely, I mean, I couldn't sleep after he told me this story. And he said, brother, do you know, and he named this fellow who was a singer. He was a singer, a gospel singer. And if I called his name, probably most of you would know who he was. He is now deceased. And I said, yes. I said, oh yeah, I know him. He said, I got to tell you what happened. He lived in the town where my preacher friend lives and has pastored for a long time. And he said that he heard that this fellow was not doing well. And so he thought, I'll go visit him. So he went to the house, and the man's wife said, I wish you would come and just pray with him. I think it would help him. And so my friend went in the house, and they walked down a hallway and into a den, like a family room, where a hospital bed had been set up. And when he walked into the room, he said that man was pushed up against the bedpost, the head of the bed, and was pushing as hard as he could push and pulling a blanket up to protect himself and was saying, get him away. Get him away from me. Make him leave. And he turned and looked at my friend and said, do you see them? Make them leave. And my friend walked over and grabbed him by the hand and said, brother, there's nothing there. There's no one there. And he looked again toward the end of the bed and said, yes, they're there. They're waiting on me. And my friend looked at him and said, have you never trusted Jesus as your Savior? He said, no, I haven't. I've been living a lie all this time. Make them go away. Now, can you imagine that? I said, brother, what in the world happened? And he said, he just went out. It looked like fear made him just pass out. Now, folks, listen, I wasn't there. I can't vouch for that story, but I can vouch for my friend. And I'm telling you, my friend is a man of God. He knows what he's seen. You say, well, what's the point, preacher? Here's the point, folks. There's an enemy out there, and that enemy walks about seeking whom he may devour. And I'm telling you, you better dwell deep in this matter of your soul's salvation. You better know that you 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 know that you're born again. As Peter would say, you need to make your calling and your election sure. Second thing, we ought to dwell deep in the in our service for God. I mean, we just need to dwell deep in an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing, soul-winning, gospel-preaching church. We just need to dwell deep. I mean, these are serious days in which we live. These are days in which every weapon in hell's arsenal have been pointed at you and at your family. Dwell deep in the fear and admonition of the Lord. When it comes to raising your family, you need to dwell deep. I mean, we would all agree that we need to be here on Sunday morning, but listen, we also need to be here on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Amen. Dwell deep. Be sure your children center their lives around the church. Let them encourage. Let me encourage you to put your children in the children's programs. I'm talking about the children's choirs. Oh, it's important. Put them in the children's choir. Dwell deep. Put them in Sunday school. Dwell deep. Get your teenagers in the youth activities. Just dwell deep. Get your children involved in the bus ministry and in the soul winning activities that the teenagers do. Just dwell deep in the Lord's work. But realize our children will dwell deep if we dwell deep. I've said this before, but I think it really ought to be said again. But I'm amazed at how many folks, the minute their last child graduates from high school, they're done with the church. That amazes me. They wanted church the open door for their kids, but not for themselves. Well, let me tell you something. Your children aren't idiots. They see through your facade.
That's right.
They're not fools. You can't fool them. They know you better than you think they know you. And how broken must be the heart of our Lord when we don't dwell deep and don't want to serve Him once our children are gone from the home. The people of Dedan would hear that an enemy was coming, and they would grab everyone and everything and flee down into Petra. And they would dwell deep in those caves so the enemy could not find them and could not destroy them. And I'm telling you, folks, you need to dwell deep so that the great enemy cannot find you. I mean, dwell deep in the Word of God. Dwell deep in prayer. Dwell deep in faithfulness to the Lord. Dwell deep in prayer. Don't just pray when it's convenient, but pray fervently. And dwell deep in a matter of prayer. Don't forget, James tells us, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But dwell deep in church. I wish you'd build your life around the Lord. That's what I wish. I think you teenagers ought to have your social life around the church. I think you ought to date when you get old enough to date, when mom and dad say it's okay. 40. I think you ought to date at church. You boys ought to go with the girls from the church. I mean, you ought to marry someone who is born again. Dwell deep. Let me tell you something. There's an enemy that is approaching. And the best of our young people are attacked and they are tempted with alcohol and drugs all the time. I mean, almost every year, we have to kick kids out of school for drinking. Not every year, but almost every year. I'm talking 14 and 15 year olds. You say, where do they get it? Home. They get it at home. And then the parents are standing there embarrassed as they can be. Well, I meant to throw that away. Did you now? Did you really? Well, I just don't want the devil to get a single victory over any of our young people. Amen. Dwell deep. Dwell deep. I remember when I first got saved, there was a kid in our youth group, and he got saved just shortly after I got saved. Just very shortly after I got saved. Just a few weeks after I got saved. And I remember he followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Might have been the same Sunday I got baptized. And he sat in the same youth meetings that and same church services that I sat in. Exact same services. And I remember when we went to camp and he heard the same sermons I heard. And I remember when we got back to the cabins that he would make fun of the preacher that preached on rock music and make fun of the preacher that preached on long hair on boys. And he would mock and he would ridicule and he would say things like, well, I'm not getting my hair cut for anybody. Well, I'm not throwing my rock music away. And when the preacher would preach on something he didn't like, he'd snicker and roll his eyes about it. And when the message was on faithfulness and on attending church three times a week, he would laugh and say stuff like, well, I can be just as good a Christian as anybody else. I don't have to be here three times a week. And he had an answer for everything. And so many of us in that youth group, well, we just made up our mind we were going to dwell deep. And we did. And you know, there are several in that youth group, 40 some years later, we're still at it. And I remember when it came time for all of us to graduate, we're all sitting around. Where are you going? Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go to so-and-so and study for the ministry. Oh, cool. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go to so-and-so. I'm going to be a missionary. Oh, that's awesome. Wow, that's great. Where are you going? Oh, well, I'm going to such Christian school, and I'm going to study to be a Christian school teacher. And then, where are you going to school? Well, I'm not going to any Christian college. You're not going to tell me I got to get a haircut. Well, I'm just going to go to school over here at West Virginia State. And so we all came home at Christmas time. And we started looking around and somebody said, well, where's so-and-so? And nobody knew where he was. So we went and asked the youth pastor, where's so-and-so? Haven't seen him since we've been home. Oh, you didn't hear? No. What happened? Oh, he went over to West Virginia State. He got hooked up with the wrong crowd. He got busted for buying drugs up on streets in Charleston. Oh, really? He didn't dwell deep. I remember hearing him say, not once, but many a time, I'm not cutting my hair for anybody. I'm not cutting my hair for anybody. Well, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't at first like all those sermons I heard about getting a haircut. And I didn't like all those sermons I heard about reading the Bible. I didn't like all those sermons I heard about going soul winning. I didn't really care for them very much. But I took them. Did your mother ever say, "Come here"? And you walked over and she was standing there with a bottle of something and a spoon. And your immediate reaction was, "No!" And your mother said, "Come on, this is not that bad." But now you knew it was. I mean, it tasted awful. But your mother said, you remember what she said? "Take this, it is good for you." And I stand here tonight and I look back all those years ago and I can see Gary Lane standing there right now shaking his finger. And I can see that guy that, I don't remember his name, but that guy that did the first youth camp at Alpine Bible Camp when I went there I got saved in October, went to Alpine Bible Camp over the Christmas holidays, and I can still see that guy with that crew cut hair standing there pointing that finger at us and telling us that we shouldn't be listening to that music we're listening to. I can stand here right now and say, "Ooh, yeah, boy, I didn't like that then. But you know, that was good for me. That was good medicine to take. And I learned some valuable things." I mean, I would just love to be able to stand here tonight as your pastor and say, "Hey, take this. You need this. This is good for you." You say, "But I don't like it." But take it anyway. It's good for you. You say, "But I don't like the youth choir." But it is good for you to be in the youth choir. It will help you. Mark my word on that. So just get ready and go. You say, "But I don't like to go to soul winning visitation on Wednesday." Listen, just go anyway. It's good for you. What I'm saying is, hey, young people, dwell deep. Dwell deep. When the enemy comes, you will be glad that you were deep inside those caves. And when he went walking to and fro, seeking whom he may devour, he couldn't find you. You'll be glad you dwelt deep.